This morning we come to the last in our series of studies on the 23rd Psalm with the last verse of the Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is hard to speak of anything these days without referring to the weather. We sympathize with those whose holidays have been spoiled by the rain. And most of all, our hearts go out to the farmers whose livelihood is threatened by the unceasing wet weather. Maybe it would be hard for a farmer to repeat this verse with sincerity, especially if we take it in another possible translation: only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Only goodness? Does it look like that after one of the wettest Augusts that there has been, with crops that are rotting in the fields? Does it look as if it were true only goodness and mercy? In answer to that, and with real hesitation, because I'm not suffering the way the farmers are, I want to say two things. The first was something that was said to me many years ago when I was a boy. One very wet day, I met an old man, and I said to him, "It's a bad day." And I've never forgotten, and I hope I never will forget, the answer that he gave me. God makes no bad days. Unpleasant days, maybe. But God makes no bad days. I was reminded of that during the past week, when a minister who had been on holiday in Scotland told me of meeting a member of the Free Church of Scotland on just such a wet morning, and saying to him, "It's a miserable day." The Scotsman, true to his belief in the gracious sovereignty of God, replied, "Ordained by a loving and wise providence." Another way of saying, God makes no bad days. The second thing that I want to say to myself and to you about our complaints regarding the weather and other things as well is this. If we deny verse 6 of Psalm 23, only goodness and mercy, or surely goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life, do we not also deny verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe the Lord is calling us, in the midst of difficulties and trials, to a new and deeper trust in his love and in his shepherding, so that we can truly say from our hearts, in all circumstances of life, the Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Maybe God's bringing us to the place of exercising that kind of faith in the midst of everything. The Lord is my shepherd, then I know goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As in all the verses of this 23rd Psalm, there's so much in this verse that it's difficult to arrange it in our thinking. It's like a diamond which sparkles from all its facets when it's held up to the light. But I want this morning to summarize this sixth verse of the 23rd Psalm under two headings: the hounds of heaven and the house of God. First of all, the hounds of heaven. And I adapt that division from the title of a poem of Francis Thompson's with the title, "The Hound of Heaven." And in that poem, Francis Thompson pictures his own life as a life of trying to get away from God. In different ways, trying to get away from God. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. Only to find that the grace of God, what Thompson calls the hound of heaven, kept pursuing him until finally it caught up with him and gave him the invitation, "Rise, clasp my hand, and come." And from a life that was wasted, Francis Thompson, pursued and gripped by the hound of heaven, came to know the wonder of salvation in Christ. And I use that title, the hound of heaven, or the hounds of heaven, because the word translated follow in this last verse of the 23rd Psalm is a far stronger word merely than follow. It means literally pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. God's goodness and God's mercy are the hounds of heaven coming after us, refusing to let us get away. No matter how much we, like Francis Thompson, try to leave the Lord out of our reckoning and try to get away from the Lord, God's goodness and God's mercy keep after us until they bring us to the Good Shepherd. So let us look then in more detail at the first half of the verse, taking it virtually word by word. First of all, surely, or only. The Hebrew word can mean both, and I think it's right to take it in both senses. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. We can be sure of God's goodness, we can be sure of God's mercy, because it follows on, as I've said so often in this series of studies, it follows on from what's said at the very first verse of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." If that's true, we can be sure of the Good Shepherd. We can be sure of his goodness. We can be sure of his mercy for all our needs. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. But the word can also mean only. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me. And maybe, as I've said, some of us find hard to say that. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me. Maybe Joseph would have found it hard to say when he was a prisoner in Egypt, sent there by his brother's bitter hatred. And yet afterwards, Joseph could say to those brothers, "You planned it for evil, but God planned it for good," the same word, for goodness, "to save much people alive." You see, what seems to be evil in so many different experiences of life, what seems to be evil may turn out to be only goodness and mercy. That brings us to the second word I want to look at, the word goodness. And it's hard to sum all up all that the goodness of God means, because it means so much. We can't begin to cramp into just a minute or two what the goodness of God means. Derek Kidner, in his commentary on Psalms, defines it as God's steady kindness and support. I like that. God's steady kindness and support. That really sums it up. But what I did this week was to look at a few of the places in the book of Psalms where the goodness of God is referred to. And I found that it refers to God's provision for every need we have. For example, in Psalm 65, verse 11, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness," referring to the harvest that God gives. Maybe we think that couldn't happen this year. "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness." But God, even yet, as we put our trust in him, can crown the year with his goodness in material things. Then in Psalm 145, verse 9, we have the same thought, applying it more widely to God's provision for all our needs out of his great liberality. The Lord is good to all. Maybe we know it better in the metrical version. Good unto all men is the Lord. O'er all his works, his mercy is. God's goodness providing for all our needs from his great liberality. Then in Psalm 31, verse 19, the goodness of God is related to our need of protection from the enemies that confront us. We read Psalm 31 in the last part of the psalm. Oh, how great is the goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. And the psalmist goes on, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous, his miraculous loving kindness in a fortified city. God's goodness means our protection in the face of all the enemies that threaten us. But most wonderful of all is Psalm 86, verse 5. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. That's God's goodness. Not only provision and protection, but pardon. God's goodness, ready to forgive. Then the word mercy, goodness and mercy. But it means far, far more than the English word mercy can convey. It means God's steadfast love for his people. It means God's covenant with his people that means that he'll always care for them. We don't deserve his goodness, we know that. But here in his mercy we have his steadfast, covenanted love that he gives to the undeserving. Goodness and undeserved, steadfast, covenant love. And we go on then to the next word, shall follow me. And as I've said, it's far stronger than that, shall pursue me. Martin Luther said of God's word that it had feet to run after a man and hands to lay hold upon him. And some of us have found that very true in the Bible. The God's word has feet to run after a man and hands to lay hold of him. And that's true as well of God's goodness and God's grace. The father in Christ's wonderful story about the prodigal couldn't follow his son into the far country. He had to stay at home. But our Father goes after us. The Good Shepherd's goodness and mercy are like two sheepdogs going after us and bringing us back to the Good Shepherd. Thank God for his pursuing grace. Thank God for the grace that won't let us go. For without that pursuing grace, not one of us would be in the fold at all. Shall follow me. Shall pursue me. God's determination that he cannot and will not let his people go. And then all the days of my life. And I want you to notice exactly what that says. It doesn't say all my life. It says all the days of my life. Dividing it up into all the multitude of days and all the multitude of experiences there are. God's goodness and God's grace can be trusted for all the separate days, with all the separate different experiences that we have. And that means for days of sorrow and days of disappointment, as well as days of gladness. Let me illustrate from the days of the Covenanters in Scotland. There was a day when Alan Cameron, the Covenanter, was lying in the Tolbooth prison in Edinburgh, a prisoner for Christ's crown and covenant. Suddenly the door of his cell burst open, and soldiers came in carrying something. Look, they said. And it was the head and the hands of his son Richard, slain in battle at Ayr's Moss. Do you know them, they asked. I know them. I know them. They're my sons, my dear sons. Then he lifted his head. It is the Lord, he said. Good is the will of the Lord, who cannot wrong me nor mine. but has made goodness and mercy to follow me all my days. We can trust the Lord's goodness and the Lord's grace for all our days, for all the experiences, whatever they may be. Those two hounds of heaven, his goodness and mercy, will follow us always. And that brings us to the second half of the psalm, of the verse. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want you to notice that that second half of the verse follows on and is a consequence of the first half. My dwelling in the house of the Lord is my response to the goodness and the mercy of the Good Shepherd. You see that kind of link right through the psalm. It's perhaps useful maybe to look at the psalm this way. Three things that we can say because of what God is. The Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. Then in verse four, thou art with me, then I will fear no evil. And then here in verse 6, goodness and mercy shall follow me, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what does it mean to dwell in the house of the Lord? Does it mean being here in church all the time? Does it mean being in heaven eventually? It means far more than that. Dwelling in the house of the Lord means day by day resting in the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. It means day by day accepting his provision for our lives. It means day by day realizing his presence with us. That's dwelling in the house of the Lord. Where are you living today? I don't mean what's your postal address. I mean, are you abiding in Christ? Are you living there? Are you resting in him? Is he your home? Now and forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, trusting the Lord, resting in the Lord, provided for by the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, we can dwell in the house of the Lord here and now, day by day resting in Christ, who is our home. But that dwelling will go on and on until one day it is perfected in heaven in his eternal presence. That's why David speaks of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, and literally it is for length of days. For length of days here, and then for length of days forevermore. And it all depends, as I've said so often throughout this series of studies, it all depends on our being able to make our own the opening words of the psalm: the Lord is my shepherd, mine by choice, mine by my willing acceptance of his shepherding and of his grace. And maybe for some here this morning, that means not only going back to the beginning of the psalm, it means going back to the beginning of everything. The word translated dwell can mean return to dwell, turn back to dwell. And maybe there's someone here this morning whose first step has to be to turn to the Lord, to turn back to the Lord maybe, to accept him as Savior, as Shepherd, and as Lord. And then by a daily repeated act of faith, to dwell in him, to abide in him, to rest in him, to trust him with daily repeated faith and obedience. Are you prepared to do that this morning? To say from your heart and in your heart, the Lord is my shepherd. I will turn to him. I will turn back to him if I've turned away. I will rest in him. For he is my Savior. He is my shepherd. He is my Lord. Will you do that now? Even now. And then the glorious promise of this last verse of Psalm 23 will be fulfilled. Surely, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.